Maybe Andre Johnson because the way he put his hands on Corlin Finnegan.
Beat the F out of that boy.
We're now listening to the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Here are your hosts, Deontay Epps and Dane Beasley.
Hello and welcome to episode 62 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. My name is Deontay Epps, joined by my guy, my ace, my best friend, Dane Beasley. Dane, how are you doing, my dude?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Slight corrections, episode 63, but I'm going to let it slide.
We're not on episode 63.
No electric, though.
You it's sure? 62. Yes.
You sure?
Yes. You're not fooling me with this one.
All right, man.
Episode 62 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. And
when this mug gets pulled off of Apple and Spotify because it's the naming convention is the same as last time.
It ain't the same. No, you're not tricking me. You're not making me go back on my notes. Episode 62 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. I know we did not have an episode last week, and I kind of want to be transparent for a moment, Dane, because one of our earlier episodes we had, it was literally titled Take Care of Your Mental. And we were talking about Dak Prescott and, you know, the different stuff that he was going through at the time with his brother and stuff. And like, it's very important, and we have said that on that particular episode, like, for yourself to take care of, like, your mental health, because it's just as important as your physical health. And just wanted to say I really appreciate you, brother, because last week it was a tough one as far as, you know, I'm fine physically and, you know, even mentally now. It's just some tough times at work and stuff. And, you know, last week just wasn't a great week for me to podcast. And I appreciate you, my brother, for understanding that. For the listeners that are listening, just a note to you guys to take care of yourself and reach out to people that, you know, have your best interest that you can lean on for support and advice and guidance and all those great things. And I have that with my brother Dane here. I have that with my wife, Karina, who I love and appreciate so much. And a lot of my other people that they know who they are that I have contacted and, you know, reached out for, you know, just some words of encouragement and advice. And it really, really, really goes a long way. So, yeah, man, just if you're listening and you are in the same predicament, it might not even be about work, could be about anything that's going on in your life. Just take some time for you to get where you need to be in your life, where you're content, where you are happy with the situation you're in. And if you're not, try to figure out steps to get there. And I really appreciate those in my life that have helped me kind of clear the muddiness that's going on right now and, you know, try to help me get to where I need to be. So I appreciate that so much. Appreciate the listeners that continue to rock with us each and every time we drop an episode. And dang, man. Yeah, I had to say that off the top, man, because it was on the dome.
Thing, man. No. See, that's why this podcast is only presented to you, because we are authentic and we keep it real and 100. Sometimes, you know what? Mr. Finney used to always tell us, sometimes the grass ain't always green on the other side. Mm-hmm. And something to that effect of the water might be off or something like that. But I don't know why I said that. Yeah, I have no idea where that was going. Something was supposed to come to me, but it didn't happen the way it was supposed to.
Look, insert inspirational quote here.
Yeah. Sometimes, you don't watch Survivor, do you?
Of course.
Oh, okay, okay.
We talked about it, remember? This new season, at least.
I'm sorry, I apologize. I was just making, you know, spoiler alert, that particular episode too, where it's like, you have to say the secret word or the secret phrase. He just said the secret phrase and everybody was like,
yeah.
Boy, what?
Yeah.
That's exactly what just happened to me. I just said that quote and I was like,
why did I say that?
And all of myself just started laughing at me like, wait a minute, you don't know what I was supposed to be piecing together with that. Anywho.
Whatever the quote was, it was like so off the wall. Like, the rabbit is out of the hat and now walking towards me.
It's like
something just random.
Yeah. But I said all that to say this. always gonna have me in your corner, my boy. And then on top of that, this guy is more than a brother to me. And he's been he and his family, the entire Epps family has always been there for me since I was a kid. So they always have a special place in my heart, and it's not even one of them situations where he has to say thank you, I appreciate it for, you know, because that's just what we're supposed to do. It's just known fact. If you have best friends, if you somebody's best man, or if you just your play cousin and they can rely on you, you can rely on them, always have their back, man. And it can be something super small or super big. It don't even matter. That's just the code. And like my boy Omar Little said, a man's gotta have a code. So
gotta have a code.
Always got you, man. It's one other thing I was gonna say, and I completely forgot, but I'm gonna go ahead and take a sip of this coconut water and take it away, Deontay. Episode 63.
Bro, it is not episode 63. 62, you're gonna confuse the listeners.
Hold on, I'm confused. How the fans though, man?
Sorry. Oh, they're well, man. My dad is in East Texas right now. My uncle, let me shout out my uncle real quick. My uncle Philip Epps used to play for the Green Bay Packers and New York Jets. I need to get him on the podcast. Anyway, he got inducted into the Atlanta High School Sports Hall of Fame this past weekend. So my dad went there and, you know, supported him on the field, and he got this nice little plaque and stuff. And so that was really cool to see he's doing well. And of course, my dad was like, man, you know, he got in there. You know, I got to be next. So, you know, my dad's waiting in line to get into the Hall of Fame.
Hey, first things first, shout out to Uncle Phil. For real.
He's the only follow that up. Okay. J. Cole fan stand up. But yeah, man, my folks are doing well. Mom is doing well. Everybody's getting ready for the wedding. So yeah, for the listeners, you guys know that I'm married. We had a small little ceremony back in October. We actually got married then because of COVID, but we're actually having our big ceremony that we paid a bajillion dollars for. That's coming up in November. So we've been kind of getting prepared for that. Everybody getting kind of prepared for that. It's already feel like it took forever to get here, and it's almost a month out. So other than that, things are good. As we're recording this, people, it is International Podcast Day, September 30th. So shout out to the other podders of the world that you know, do their little podding and stuff like that. So yeah, that's how we started this thing, man. I felt that was a good. I felt like I had to get it off my chest, you know. But for the sports, man, since we took about 2 weeks off, one of the things that kind of caught my eye in the first few weeks, Dane, was the rookie quarterbacks struggling. And
boy, the boys look like garbage. Oh, my bad.
Yes,
man.
Yes. So we got
they're supposed to.
Right. Well, that's the question I want to ask you, because like we have Trevor Lawrence. You know, they played tonight. So right now he's 0-3. Zach Wilson, 0-3 with the Jets. We saw Justin Fields get in finally and start a game, but you know, it did not go well. We've seen Trey Lance in flashes, but I mean, we can't really grade him off the little times he's been in the game. But you know, a lot of the times that we've heard over the past few years and even this season, like if you draft a quarterback round one, the intention is to play that guy that season, more than likely. Right. But it's like, we've seen them struggle right now. Is that, in your opinion, is that the right thing to do? Or like, when did that switch? Because, you know, it used to be like you draft a quarterback early and, you know, they're sitting there. They're supposed to learn the first year. Dane's giving me the money hands, says about money. They sit Manziel. The first year. Yeah. But remember how it used to be like, you know, you draft a quarterback, they sit behind the veteran, you know, and then they come in after a year.
Let me tell you the difference between now and then. Back then, it was about the money. Now, it's about even more money. So with that being said, we are currently in an age where we are looking for instant gratification. We want the microwave fix versus putting something in the slow cooker or putting something on the grill and let it smoke and, you know, taking hours and hours and hours to get your product in the long time. I don't know if it's a combination of the fact that either desperation or they just want to throw these boys out there and let them get experience. But I think it just depends on the organization. And it also depends on where they're at in terms of their organization build. Well, I guess you can say organization. Some teams that don't have any other option, they've been at the bottom of the barrel for a very long time. They're going to throw that guy out there. The Jets.
Jaguars.
And the Jaguars, they had a brief stint where they were on top of the game. They had the number one defense. Like, that defense was amazing.
But, got him to the AFC Championship game, yeah.
But here we are. Some situations you get to watch, you draft the quarterback in the first round. He gets to sit behind a veteran for a number of games and learn. And then he gets put in the spotlight because he's beat out the veteran quarterback, you know, in a few years. Sometimes that gets to happen. When it happens, it's beautiful because the storylines that come from him are amazing. But then most of the time you have a situation where you get the first round guy or a later round guy, and he gets in only because of an injury. My personal experience, I've been through a few of these myself as a Cowboys fan. We had Drew Bledsoe come through because he got – I think he was traded. Either he was traded or they let him go and then we signed him. I can't remember how it all went down. But Drew Bledsoe might have lost his – he lost his job to a guy named Tom Brady. I don't know if you heard him or not, but Drew had got hurt. And he came through.
Yeah, I think I heard of him.
Yeah, you know, might know about him. So Drew came through to the Cowboys to be with Parcells and – we had this one guy named Tony Romo, Antonio, you might know him by, and he was an undrafted guy, and he sat on the bench for a little while, learned from a couple of guys, and learned from a few seasons from just from watching, as well as having a nice, at the time, quarterback slash OC by the name of, I don't know, he might coach for the Saints now, but what do I know?
That Peyton guy.
Yeah, that Peyton guy, that Sean Payton guy. So he sat and learned from Sean Payton, and then after a while, he got the go ahead to start because, of course, injuries to Drew Bledsoe. And then we got to see, okay, this might be the guy. And then, of course, the fumbled snap with a field goal, game-winning field goal, Seahawks, that happened. So, and then fast forward to today. Present day. Our very own Rain Dakota Prescott. He was a third screen guy fighting for a spot with Jamil Showers, fight for the backup spot for Jamil Showers. And then, of course, Tony Romo gets hurt in a preseason game, which he shouldn't have been playing in, versus the Seahawks. And, of course, that comes in because Jamil Showers is hurt. I think he got hurt or injured or something like that. No, Kellen Moore broke his foot, if I'm not mistaken. So he was fourth on the depth chart, not third. Kellen Moore, which, of course, is now the offensive coordinator for the Cowboys, was hurt. So then
full circle moment.
Yeah, full circle moment. Didn't plan that at all. But I said all that to say this. Sometimes they're thrown in the spotlight because they have to. Other times it's one of those calculated moves. And then small fraction of the time, injury luck. That kind of thing happens. But I'm not worried about the rookie quarterback class. They got to take their lumps the same way the other guys have at other positions. We see all the time other players at other positions are thrown in there for the sake of desperation or just to get their feet wet, and they get drugged in the mud, they get ran over, they get crossed up, they go through those rookie growing pains, but it's only going to make them better. Some of the greatest quarterbacks that have walked through this league have had horrible, piss-poor rookie seasons, first season, second season, third season,
Peyton Manning,
fourth season.
For sure.
It finally slows up, especially Peyton Manning. Oh, man, that boy. But Peyton was pretty good, though. But anyways. Back to you, Deontay.
Yeah, to go back to what you said about the money situation, I think that kind of plays into it because, like, nowadays you see, like, the Trevor Lawrence's draft, the early Zach Wilson, and those fan bases are so desperate for a winning quarterback, and they're shouting to the teams and the owners, like, man, we paid this guy all this money. Like, he needs to play, like, regardless of if we have the weapons around him to make him successful, if we have the O-line to protect him. And that's the big thing. Like, Justin Fields got destroyed last week. Like,
you put
he
it
was
nicely.
Taking
you
his
You phrased it nicely, though. When you first said it, like, he had it all. I'm like, bro, we ain't watched the same game. Like, I'm a Buckeye out of my heart, but my
Hold
man
on, what did I say?
You had put it nicely, like he didn't have a essentially.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Y'all can run it back and say you put it. You made it seem like he too, fell like, short like, on the final drive or something. Like no, like it
you.
Was bad. Like it was really bad.
You.
And you can say what you want about it being offensive line or just him not being able to process things, but it was bad, and that is okay because they are rookie quarterbacks. They are going to look ugly, horrific for a long time.
Right.
Back to you, DeAndre.
And I think one thing that also kind of popped in my head was like, Patrick Mahomes didn't really play his rookie year, but that next year where he was like the full-time starter, he went deep into the playoffs. Then, he ended up winning the Super Bowl. Actually, that year he was a full-time starter. He won the Super Bowl.
Second or third, right? Second or third? I can't remember.
And such then a blur. You got the success of Lamar Jackson. Russell Wilson played early in his career. He has a Super Bowl ring. I think fans see, we need a guy like that can come in quick, learn it on the fly, not on the fly, but learn it pretty quick and get us to where we need to be and solidify himself as a franchise quarterback. But like the earliest I can remember was back, I think, what year was he drafted? Big Ben back in 2008. But I just remember his rookie year.
Career injury, right? He was coming back from the career injury. I'm thinking of Kellen Winslow.
Well, Big Ben's rookie year, he went 15-1. He led them to the AFC Championship game, I believe. But that's the first time I remember a rookie quarterback coming in and just off the rip, just leading the team to success. And so I think that's part of it. But like you said, it's a very delicate situation as far as quarterback's psyche and being able to bounce back from, a bad game where they're getting destroyed or throwing picks and stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see because for example, the Jags and Jets are kind of on the same, as far as where Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are concerned, they're both on teams that are struggling haven't been in a bit or should I say they've been given the keys already. Whereas Justin Fields, the coach has already come out and says Andy Dalton is in charge and stuff like that.
Question. Do you think it's fair situations like Zach Wilson, situations like Justin Fields, where they shouldn't be thrown into the starting lineup like that? Do you think it's fair as I want to hear two sides of this, two point of views, as a fan and as Deontay the podcaster. You think it's fair to criticize those QBs in those positions that they're in because of the nature in which they are thrown into the spotlight like that?
Well, I think so because, maybe it's just Justin Fields being professional, but when you hear him speak about it, he always talks about how he's ready for the situation, ready for the moment. This is me as a podcaster. And he's going to be put, and you had mentioned this earlier, he's going to be put in the position at some point to play for this franchise, be given a shot to be the franchise quarterback. And Andy Dalton was hurt. He was hurt enough not to play, or so they say. So, he has to be ready for the opportunity. And then as a fan, did you say as a fan?
Yeah.
I think the fans, the one Chicago Bear, I know two Chicago Bear fans, and both want Justin Fields to play. And I think they're in that same predicament that we talked about earlier where, hey, we got a first-round quarterback. Let's play him now. Andy Dalton's a waste of time. Let's just get through what we need to get through. Give the guy some experience. We may not make it to the playoffs. We may take our lumps and bruises, but the guy's playing. This is what we invested in, so let's just start this now.
Do you think this is coming from those fans in particular? And I know a few myself, a few random members that are Bears fans too. But you think that this is because the fans are kind of accepting about the coaching that he is receiving from a questionable head coach? Or is it just I'm ready to see the shiny new toy type of deal?
I think it's a little of both. Because they're already questioning Andy Dalton playing over Justin Fields. And the predicament and how the offense is being run at this point. And it's clear. Well, I think it's clear that Matt Nagy is on the hot seat. I don't see him making it out. This is probably his fourth year, I think. And I think they'll try to get.
He's been there too long.
Yeah, I think they'll try to get somebody in there that fits Justin Fields, that a quarterback whisperer, so to speak, that they can kind of unlock Justin Fields and get some weapons around him. Who'd you say?
Sorry, you said Eric the Enemy. My bad.
That'd be a good fit.
Hear me out. There's also another good offensive coordinator in the NFL that has success with a young quarterback and has a lot of continuity. I think he's the longest running QB coach slash OC with the current quarterback right now. You're not going to know who this guy is. I want to say
he's not a no name, but a heralded name.
He interviewed for a head coaching spot in the NFL last year. And he interviewed for, well, he was offered a job for a Power Five football team.
Are you talking about Greg Roman from the Ravens?
I am not.
That's another good pick, though.
Yes.
Greg Roman, he might be a good head coach. That would be a good head coach for the Bears.
I give you a
clue. Who you talking about?
I give you a clue. You see. It's the color.
Man, I can't see that. That's blue.
No, it's just the color. Exactly. That's your hint. It's blue. Blue turf.
Oh, you're talking about Kellen Moore. I was going to guess that the first time. I was going to guess that the first time. Bro, he's going to be the Cowboys head coach.
He is. He interviewed for the Eagles head coaching spot last year. So it's like,
I remember
there are up and coming OCs that have skins on the wall that are, I mean, I hate to say it, but this is where the league is going. Not spread offense, but these very, very creative, unique, a lot of misdirection, quick passes. It's a modified West Coast, if you will. But I think the Chicago Bears, they have an amazing defense. They had an amazing defense. They have a lot of depth. They have a lot of young guys that I think would have a lot of upside given a new coach, possibly. I know a thing or two about bad coaches.
Trust me. Yeah, we mentioned the Cowboys, man. How impressed are you with the last victory, man? Is it? I'll give it to you like this: they destroyed a Philadelphia Eagles team that we can kind of see is not one of the better teams in the league, and the Cowboys are not really known for causing turnovers, but I think they lead the league now, Dane, in creating turnovers. Am I right? How impressed are you with you guys?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So let me tell you something. The Cowboys have they're very consistent at letting you down. Okay. They win games that they're not supposed to, and they lose games they lose games that they shouldn't, but that they are overdoing themselves this year. Let me tell you why. One, the turnovers. We didn't get this amount of turnovers that we have. We're currently leading the league right now with turnovers, if you didn't know. Big deal, whatever. Is it sustainable is my concern. The second part to that is we didn't get to where we were in terms of the amount of turnovers we had until November last season. That's how bad it was. It was like the final week of November. It was just that bad. Like the defense was just not turning over. Like they were not pushing the ball. They were not getting the ball at all. It wasn't happening. We're doing it this year, but I don't know if that's sustainable over time. I'm impressed for the standpoint of I expected far less from the defense. So it's not like I'm gonna be honest.
Your bar was low.
My bar was very low. I was like, look, man, if we win by a field goal, I'm cool. If we lose by a field goal, I'm also cool. If we lose by two touchdowns, I wouldn't be surprised, but it's like, okay, that could happen. But overall, we have a bunch of young guys on the defense. Last year we spent, I think, the first six picks on defense, which we haven't done in a long time. But the thing about spending those picks on defense is picking the right guys, not just picking guys for the sake of filling up those roster holes and things like that, but picking the right guys is what matters. And it is well documented. I was not a Micah Parsons fan. It is well documented. I mentioned it the previous episode and the episode before that. The off the field character stuff was very alarming to me, and I wasn't comfortable cheering for a guy that was accused of the things that he and a few other teammates were accused of doing. But that being said, if he turns out to be what he's supposed to be, what his potential says this year, just this year alone, then a number of teams passed up on a really good guy for the sake of we shouldn't draft an on-ball linebacker or off-ball linebacker. In the top 10 off-ball linebacker because he's so versatile. He has a lot he can clean up. He's still very raw as a pass rusher, but I think there's something they can work with. And once he gets in that off-season program, the NFL's off-season program.
Yeah, I think they should keep him at the DN spot.
Nah. It needs to be a case-by-case situation in terms of keeping it fresh. Don't put him at the end just for the sake of putting him at the end. If the game plan dictates him going and playing a few snaps at defensive end, by all means do it. But you play to the strengths of that particular matchup for that week. You don't do it just for the sake of, oh, he has leading the division and pressures and he has 1.5 sacks and he's getting off the ball very quick. That's fine and all, but there are holes that need to be plugged on that in that linebacker position as well, Paul. So yeah, that's just my take. That's just me though. But that's not even the one I'm most surprised and impressed about on our defense. Trevon Diggs.
Diggs. I already knew he was gonna say Diggs. definitely makes up for you being upset about y'all not getting Patrick Surtain.
Yeah.
Unless you wanted Patrick Surtain on both sides or on the other side, that would have been kind of dope.
Here's the thing about that, bro. We still have a need at cornerback. Just because Jalen Hurts crapped the bed versus the Cowboys doesn't mean our secondary
even
is
got your boy
fixed.
Anthony Brown a pick.
Yeah, like that's how I know. We need this. I will take the dub because it's a division rival, but I am going to be one of those type of people who's like, okay, I'll take the dub, but it's not like it's just not the same as beating other playoff contending teams. He's supposed to beat up on little brother Philly. Right. But we still have holes in at the quarterback spot, so Patrick Surtain would have been perfect here. Not to say that I don't appreciate what Micah Parsons has brought to the table, but I'm being real. My overall pick for that draft would have been J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain because of the need that we had. But he's balling out elsewhere. Well, at least one of them is.
Speaking of balling out, I think my Broncos are 3-0. One of the five remaining undefeated teams, along with the Raiders, Panthers, Cardinals, and Rams. But I will say this. it's been against not so good teams. The Jets, Giants, and the Jaguars.
They are still professional football teams.
They're professional players, and I am excited because we have the Ravens coming up, and Lamar Jackson is going to be a very, very tough game. I'm definitely excited to see how we'll play against them. I think playing against somebody like Lamar Jackson, who, like, speaking of Lamar Jackson, a lot of their players have gone
impressive.
Very impressive, especially considering how many injuries they've had on their squad. But as far as the Broncos concerned, one of my concerns going into the season, and this is before we even named the starting quarterback, was we had a top five defense, and we've shown that so far, top five defense. It's going to depend on who's at that quarterback position and who can put us in a position to win football games by not turning the ball over, not putting the defense in bad situations. We named Teddy Bridgewater the starter to start the season. And as much as Drew Lock has the intangibles, probably the better arm, Teddy does the things as far as managing the game. And even more so this year so far, Teddy has thrown deep balls, things that people have said or the media have said that he does not do. He's done it in these three games. I've seen a couple of deep balls that he's thrown that look really, really nice. And I'm like, bro, if he can continue to do this, continue to get looks down the field and be smart with the football, I believe he has 7 touchdowns, 0 picks through the first three games. That's the recipe for us to win. We have the defensive side of the ball. Von Miller was just named AFC Defensive Player of the Month. We have a few injuries on the offensive side. We lost Jerry Jeudy for a few weeks. We lost KJ Hamler for the year, but we still got a lot of weapons with those two tandem tight ends, Albert O and Noah Fant. Javonte Williams coming out the backfield, a rookie. Melvin Gordon. We got Tim Patrick on the outside. Cortland Sutton's a beast coming off the ACL injury. Everything is in place. I'm telling you, people are sleeping on us. I'm not just saying that because I'm a Broncos fan, but the way the defense is set up, we just need Teddy to continue what he's doing now, putting us in a position to win by not turning the ball over, and we'll slide at least into that 7 spot. Definitely good right now to be on top of the division, even though we're tied with the Raiders, but to see the Chiefs call for desperate measures when they just signed Josh Gordon at 1-2. So we'll kind of see. But, man, I'm excited. as far as these undefeated teams go, Dane, which one?
Hold on, bro. You ain't about to get up out of these questions. Yeah, we gotta hold your front office accountable real quick with this question. You feel me? Let me clear my throat real quick. All right, Deontay. First question. Hi, Dane Beasley from the Dual Sports Stuff Podcast. Question for you, Deontay. Must be the coffee guy. Okay, so what are the expectations or the long-term expectations that you have or plans that you have for Teddy Bridgewater? We have some very important coincidental quarterback controversies that could be on the horizon after the season. What are you making?
I'm wondering
this?
If you're talking about a certain unnamed Packers quarterback. I like Teddy. I like Teddy Bridgewater. So I'm guessing your question is, or if Teddy continues to ball out and say he leads us to the playoffs or a divisional champ or even a conference championship, you're saying should he still continue to be our quarterback and we should not try to trade for an unnamed Packers quarterback? And my answer to that question is yes, we should continue to keep Teddy Bridgewater as long as he's successful with the organization. Even if he takes us to the playoffs and beyond, I think we'd still rock with Teddy. I think why rock the boat if the boat is sailing through the ocean? You know what I'm saying? I think Teddy has shown so far. Let me say this. So far, he has shown what it takes to succeed in the offense that Pat Shurmur is running, succeed as a Broncos quarterback, as far as what I mentioned, as far as not turning the ball over. And so, yeah, I think we should keep Teddy. Teddy is what? 32? I think he's 32 or 33.
At least
he ain't no 40. Let me see.
Nah, I'm just joking. I guess that leads me to my next question.
Oh, he's 28. He's 28 years old. I'm horrible. So he's young still, guy. You know, we can get a lot of years out of Teddy.
Okay. Thank you for answering my question. Another question, follow up. The guy in the back with the green hat on. It appears that this division, at least within the first few weeks of the NFL, is pretty competitive. When you say things like "if we make to the playoffs" or "we're rolling right now" or "we are the best team in this division, possibly the conference," you think that puts a target on your back with the other three division rivals, seeing as they are also pretty competent and successful?
Most definitely. I think that, we're 3-0. The Raiders are 3-0. Chargers are 2-1. Chiefs are 1-2, but, they've been running this division for years. They a year removed from being the Super Bowl champs and
AFC champions.
I said a year removed.
Yeah, AFC champions.
Anyway, I mean, it's not going to be easy in this division. Best in so the AFC. Every week is going to be tough. That's why it's very important these next few weeks. We got the Ravens, Steelers, Raiders. I'm like, this is the toughest part of our schedule coming up. So it's going to be important to continue to get wins and to continue to play like we've been playing, play great defense, control the ball, don't turn the ball over on offense. And that's the recipe for success for the Broncos, man.
Interesting. Okay.
No further questions. I got a question for you.
That's all.
Out of these last five undefeated teams, who's the last one that's going to be standing as far as staying undefeated? Not necessarily going 17-0, but who will be the last undefeated team? Out of the Rams, Cardinals, Broncos, Panthers, and Raiders.
Based on the schedules, possibly the Rams or the Cards.
I think the Rams.
My guess. The Panthers, they got to play the Cowboys.
That's going to be a good game, too.
That's going to go. The Broncos, they also have to play the Cowboys. That's going to go. No further guesstimations on my part. Just know I have a lot of collateral on the line for that Broncos game.
We're going to that game again.
You mentioned the Rams, of course. I'm sure it's because of Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. I told you about Stafford. Putting him in the right situation where he's not on the Lions, man. Impressed. I'm telling you.
That is my Super Bowl pick, by the way.
I did say the Rams over the Chiefs.
Sure is.
So
yep,
I got the Rams staying undefeated, man. They're like a train rolling right now. They handled the Bucks pretty well this past Sunday. The defending Super Bowl champs put Tom Brady in some bad situations. On offense, they looked unstoppable. DeSean Jackson looks like he's 25, still running past defenders. Got Cooper Kupp balling out. Hey, you seen it. You seen the tape. Anyway, I think the Rams.
Okay. I ain't asking any more questions about that.
Speaking of the Buccaneers, Dane, in my notes right here, I put athletes becoming the media, and I said I'll explain. The Bucs just signed Richard Sherman at corner, and we only found that out through his podcast. You know, Richard Sherman has went through a whole, you know, situation in his life, and he's coming back to the league. And one thing I wanted to mention right here, Dan, I think it's pretty cool that a lot of these athletes, or this is the one that came to mind, Richard Sherman, like taking into account their own narrative as far as being able to break their own news. So Richard Sherman broke this news through his own podcast. And I think that's very important. A lot of people aren't talking about it. Like, you know, a lot of the times we hear how the media is twisting, you know, players' words, like in articles, through media sessions. And I think it's pretty cool that he has his own platform. And a lot of players have their own platform to where they can talk about what they want to talk about and shape it their own way. It's because it's about them. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of the times it's not that way, or somebody can read a word in an article and words could get twisted up. And so I thought it was pretty decent, pretty cool how, in a sense, a lot of these athletes are literally putting their own voice out to their own news. And I kind of wanted to hear your thoughts about that.
Athletes. Well, mixed feelings about that, Deontay. Mixed feelings about it. So, one, my guy loses one game and decides to throw in the Hail Mary and call up his homies. Like, hey, man, what you doing this weekend or the next few weekends? You was chilling on the couch. You want to play some football, bro?
We talking about Tom Brady?
Yeah, we talking about Tom Brady. Charity event next week. So, oh, yeah, sure. Well, I'd love to stop by. No. I'm talking about actually throwing back on the pads and, you know, playing some football here in Tampa. Like, oh, say less. I've always wanted to play with Tom Brady type of deal. Man loses one game and goes crying to the Hall of Fame cornerback sitting on the couch. So I ain't hating. I'm just saying, like, with the kind of pull that he has in a situation like that, to be like, hey, you suck on defense. I might be washed, but I ain't about to point that finger at myself just yet. But we need some new blood at cornerback. And by new blood, I mean essentially a Hall of Famer come in here and add some depth, some a good piece. So
he's putting together the Monstars.
No, he putting together a goddamn Avengers. That's what he's doing. So my thing is, I love the fact that he's taking control of his own narrative. Richard Sherman, for those who don't know or don't care, or have been very vocal about him, I believe he negotiated his own contract with when he went to the 49ers. So this is just the type of guy he is, an entrepreneurial spirit and just self-empowerment is a word I would use for him. But shout out to him. His story isn't over. I'm sure he has some tough questions to answer to about the situation a few months ago. So I'm looking forward to seeing him get his second chance in the league. But, you know, it's cool. It's cool. One of the first things that I noticed, or not noticed, what do you remember the first time you read the Players Tribune?
Like the exact moment?
Like the article, or who wrote the article or something like that. Because I remember the first I'm not going to sit there and lie. I don't remember the first person I read about. I do remember reading about, what's this Players Tribune? Click on the link and say, this is written by so-and-so. He plays for so-and-so. Oh, let me read this.
Right.
Yeah, this is really good. He's got a future in, you know, journalism, like type of stuff. So in terms of players, you know, being able to be on the forefront and get their own news out like that, I think it's cool, and I like it. I just didn't like it. It just happened to be with Tom Brady.
Of course.
Always gets his way. Always gets his way.
Yeah, man, I thought that was a pretty cool note to talk about. And in our We Are Getting Way Too Old segment, Dane, from NFL.com about a week ago, Steve Smith, Andre Johnson,
about a week ago,
lead modern era nominees of Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2022. Of those in their first year of eligibility, there's a host of all-time great playmakers leading the way for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2022 nominees. Wide receivers, Steve Smith, Anquan Boldin, Andre Johnson, and freaking kick returner Devin Hester are among those highlighting the first-year hopefuls. We got DeMarcus Ware, another first-year nominee, defensive lineman Vince Wilfork, couple of eligibles first year, Jake Long, Nick Mangold, Antonio Cromartie, dudes we drafted in freaking fantasy drafts in Madden back in the day. Just like all these guys popping up, man. What do you think about these names that are nominees for 2022?
Like, I remember on MySpace creating a little background image full of Devin Hester pictures of him returning kicks. And fast forward to now, and a hell of a career, one. Two, it's going to be impressive if he's a first ballot Hall of Famer as a kick and punt returner, as a return specialist. Let me say that, a return specialist. Because the man, I remember the dude returning, I was in high school. I remember this dude returning the opening kickoff to the Super Bowl for a touchdown versus the Colts.
Yep.
And I'm like, now I'm reading like this man is eligible to for all of it. Like,
Tom just needs to slow down.
Where the hell did time go?
Yeah, man.
Where the hell did time go, man? So I don't know. I don't know, bro. Like, it's cool to see some of our idols, if you will, get drafted or not drafted. That we watched get drafted, and now the opportunity to get selected into the Hall of Fame. It's impressive. It shows you just the how linear time is, and man, I just know DeMarcus Ware better be a first ballot, god dang it. Cause if he don't, somebody's getting poked in the eye. Or I'm stepping on somebody's toe.
Everything you said I agree with, for sure, bro. Just like time not slowing down. I think one of the first jerseys I ever owned was an Anquan Boldin jersey, but it was like three sizes too big. But it was like
as most jerseys were back in the 90s,
early 2000s.
Looking like nightgowns.
Yeah. That's how we used to rock it. But yeah, man, it's crazy to see these names
make
on the
your
list.
Proud.
Like, I wouldn't be mad.
Take that thing two sizes down.
Out of all the receivers on this list, like, I wish all of them could go in at the same time. I think they only.
I wish too, bro. Like, I wish to. It's stupid because obviously, all the people on this list, we know there's only one quarterback that goes in per year, essentially. So that's a given. But there is a hell of a lot of good receivers on this list. Like, what two people do you put on this list? And like, I can't rationalize putting the other two guys on here. Like,
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
Like, who you go, like, first year eligible receivers. What two receivers you putting
okay,
in?
Okay, out of those receivers, we got Boldin, Hester, Johnson, and Steve Smith. Oh.
Well, I'm not going to kick him to the side. I'm going to scoot him to the side. Devin Hester to the side as a return. Because although he was a receiver, people primarily know him because of his returning abilities, which he owns the records for.
And that's why, on the other side, that's why I'm putting him in.
Because he's getting in. Yeah, yeah. As a returner, he's definitely getting in for me. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But we're talking about solely based on his drafted as a wide receiver.
Oh, yeah, I don't think they're going to put him in as a receiver here. Like, I don't think he's on this list because he is a receiver. You know what I'm saying? So I think I would take that out of the equation. If so, like, if we're going strictly receiver, then yeah, I agree with you. I would take him out and I would probably put in, I think I put in Steve Smith and Boldin if I had to choose two.
Steve Smith?
Yeah.
Not playing.
I put in Steve Smith.
I'm playing.
You probably go Andre Johnson because you look like Andre Johnson, and then Anquan. We used to make that joke today all the time.
Look, and man, he's a flame me up. He's a flame me up. I just had to sit there and take it. Like, man, yeah, one more person. I hate y'all. Like, basically.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, I don't know. It's conflicting because Anquan Boldin, who I liken so much to that, you know,
yeah,
a slow receiver in high school. Like,
oh, that can block and have hands. You know, yeah.
Wait, they can block and hands. I was like, that's me. I mean, he's not slow by NFL standards. He's fast as hell. But in terms of what I see, he's way bigger than me, way stronger than me, way faster than me. But I think I could do the same
thing. Receiver. Yeah, most definitely. I agree with that.
But then Steve Smith, it's like you want to go into a bar fight with 10 DBs, I'm picking Steve Smith to come with.
Maybe Andre Johnson because the way he put his hands on Corlin Finnegan.
Beat the F out of that boy.
Still one of the most iconic moments in recent memory, man. Bruh. Crazy.
And he connected too. It wasn't no, like, you know, oh, why is it so stupid they punch each other with helmets on? No. Helmets is off and he.
Or like we, the other sound effect we like to say.
Clock that boy in his eye.
Boy, I was old. I agree with you, though, man.
He put the paws on him, bro. He put the paws, and everybody rejoiced, man. I'm sorry.
We said all that to say this. Time is moving so fast. So enjoy yourselves. And also enjoy it as we go to our next segment.
What's that sound?
No!
Nerdy news segment brought to you by Keith. Go ahead, Dane.
Shout out to Keith.
And there we go. Well, there we go. We missed out on Keith, last week's episode, but episode 7 was the Party Thor episode, and it was probably my least favorite. Do you want to talk about it? Because I don't. Did you like it?
I'm good. It was very.
I didn't like it.
In terms of, it was a filler episode. That was the filler episode. The only reputable part of that episode
is probably the end,
the very end.
And of course, leads us to
You already said it, right? You already said spoiler alert.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, say it.
Spoiler alert. When Ultron came through, or correction, what do we call? I guess it would be Vision.
Oh, he's Ultron. He's Ultron.
When Ultron came through the portal,
Yeah.
And then when I seen the fruity pebbles on his chest. I'm like, bro, what the hell did they get into?
Oh man!
So
yeah, man. That leads us into episode 8, which dropped this week. It's called "What If Ultron Won," and it goes back to Avengers 2. Where Tony, and speaking of Tony, bro, we laughed at it in the group chat. They've killed Tony in this show
11 times,
5 or 6 times. Like they don't care about Tony Stark in this series at all. But it goes back to Avengers 2, where Tony says, "I want to make a suit around the world." He creates Vision's body, but this time Ultron succeeds in uploading himself to Vision's body. And he basically becomes the freaking Golden State Warriors 73-9, bro. Like, nobody could stop him, bro. He split Thanos in half while Thanos had the gauntlet with stones in it.
Wait a minute. Marvel got an answer to that.
Go ahead with you. Yeah.
We know that Vision was hurt. His phasing was hurt because he got stabbed by the blade of
not Ebony Maw, but What's his name? The Black Order. One of the Black Order members.
Yeah, the married couple. He got stabbed by one of their blades in some sort of magic or whatever, and it prevented him from phasing or whatever. So it's like he was nerfed. He basically, the first 5 seconds of that scene when Thanos stepped out of that portal in his galactic tall tee and got split in half, I was like, okay, yeah, my dog was nerfed. Like, because there's no way.
Yeah.
There's no
way. I think it was a lot of discussion about that anyway, back when the movie came out, Infinity War. A lot of people were talking about, because I wasn't very familiar with Vision. Like, I was only watching the movies and stuff, and a lot of the discussion was about how Vision hasn't really been the Vision compared to, you know, the comics or whatever. But, yeah, man, for him to just split that dude, like, in 0.5 seconds or whatever it was, kind of just, I think the MCU likes to use kind of like not measurement. I don't know the correct word for it is, but like the way we've seen Thanos and what we saw from Thanos previously, right?
Metric
like
strength.
We saw Thanos as one of the top villains, if not the top villain of the MCU. And then so with that in mind, they're using him in this episode to elevate Ultron. As far as Ultron splitting him in 0.5 seconds, I think that's their way of saying, hey, this is a more crazy threat.
Yeah. And it also highlights another thing, how when we talk in terms of people being nerfed, a lot of people were pissed off about Ultron and how nerfed he was when Ultron he arrived the second Avengers. People were pissed off about that. So, it highlights not only the power level, we really shouldn't talk about power levels because there's so many things you have to take in consideration when you talk about that. But he finally gets his justice because there is an Ultron hive. He got his due. And they, all them fools came out the woodwork online in the comment sections of your favorite website. Like, yeah, all of them dudes came out. So shout out to, you know, the MCU finally put some respect on Ultron's name, but it's just a shame we had to wait this long. But you know, it was cool. It was cool the way it happened. It's like, you didn't know who to root for in that moment, but I guess a little bit of me just knew that the fight was going to be like, all right, we didn't get Hulk and Thanos, but maybe we can see something with this Ultron and Thanos, and that didn't last at all.
Nope.
Like, so, yeah. So.
I was going to say, we talked about it before we started recording, but we didn't know Ultron. We didn't know the Watcher had hands. And so what's crazy and what I've noticed in these episodes, I think the first time we saw the Watcher kind of interact with, like, because, you know, the first couple episodes, he's like, I cannot intervene. I'm like literally watching. I'm telling you the story about what's going on. And then that Doctor Strange episode, which deals with the multiverse. I think that was the first episode where we saw him interact with the characters in there. And then this one is full blown dealing with the multiverse. And he is actually like full blown interacting with the characters. Ultron hears him. And that scene with them fighting, like he was punching them different dimensions. That part was so lit. Like, I can only imagine how live that would be in a live action version.
Oh, speaking of that. So, this is what I picked up on. So Watu, who's just the Watcher's name, all the episodes, we could see him literally standing in a place that only he can see and he's aware of.
Like a silhouette.
Yeah, he's basically peeking through a window. He peeking through a window as you're driving through on the highway.
Like, open up that window.
Yeah. And this multiverse, he actually decides to take this exit versus staying on the highway. Yeah. Like, he's chilling there watching the whole time. So,
like we are.
Yeah, when Ultron gets the drop on dude, Ultron, I think he's basking in the idea of beating this man's ass in front of people. Because this is where I love they tap into Ultron's character, because him doing stuff that's super intentional and super personal. When he was going after the Avengers in Avengers 2, like, it was very personal. Like, the way that he was killing folks or attempting to kill folks, going after Tony and them, like hitting them where it hurts, was personal. What he did to Watu, beating his ass in front of everybody. You know, he was in the universe where Steve Rogers was the president, taking him through all these different places and just whooping his behind. This was personal. And it was it speaks to the level of pettiness that Ultron has, and also speaks just to the level of how you get dunked on pretty much every dimension, and you're supposed to be the person that sees all of this. So that in itself was kind of dope and impressive.
Right, and that's the crazy thing. And I know, like, with every episode we've talked about, I always come back to that question, like, dang, how is this going to tie into the... I've always been looking for that tie-in, right? And I think this last episode, I mean, we've seen it in this episode, but the last episode is supposed to be the Guardians of the Multiverse or whatever. But when Ultron kind of said at the end, and I don't know if I'll be right or not, but he was like, I can see everything. Like, I could see every multiverse, similar to the Watcher. Like, at this moment, he sees what the Watcher sees, in my opinion. And maybe even Doctor Strange, the evil Doctor Strange. And you know, we got the Multiverse of Madness coming up. Like, I think, like, the part where they start breaking through the different dimensions, I think that connects to what we saw in WandaVision when Wanda kind of was able to hear her children through another multiverse. And I think that happens at the same time of Loki when He Who Remains has said, we had just crossed the threshold. Like, he didn't know what was happening anymore. I think all of those line up, like, why it's breaking and why everything's acting weird.
You said something right there. He Who Remains, I wonder, somewhere he's chilling looking at all of this, because he's untouchable in terms of his capabilities and what he's able to do. So I wonder what he's doing, because we saw through the TVA the Infinity Stones are pretty much useless. So I'm curious, just how powerful this man is again, because we in their universe they don't do anything, because time flows of course differently in the TVA universe. So I'm curious the power levels of He Who Remains and what he's doing at this particular time. Does he's just watching his ass beating because the Watcher, he obviously can't intervene. I mean, he kind of was, his hand was forced when old dude, you know, popped up in his bodega and was like, hey, bro, what you doing to beat his ass? So he had to, you know, defend himself. My man's had to fight back. Big ass head, boy. I'm just curious about that, but I guess as everything unfolds, we might get to see it. But
yeah,
bruh. The possibilities of seeing this in live action. I mean, obviously we know
that probably
would have taken like 15 years for us to get that rollout of videos. I mean, movies and stuff, but the fact that we got it in just a matter of a few weeks, solid.
Mm-hmm.
Solid.
Right. Like the way I don't even know how the so-called Guardians of the Multiverse, which I think is the last episode where they get all the characters, T'Challa, Star-Lord, Captain Carter. We got Black Widow out of this episode. Gamora. I'm not sure how they'll be able to defeat this Ultron. He looks literally unstoppable, bro. Like,
I'm
interested to see.
Take his ass to the TVA where his power is useless and beat his ass there. Outside of that, yeah. I don't know how. Well, you know, I know how they do it. Together.
interesting to see after the last episode.
I don't know.
But yeah, that would you rate this as the best episode so far?
Yeah, this is number one. This is number one to me. Number two is the Doctor Strange episode, and then number three is the T'Challa Star-Lord episode. Those are my three.
I would go with those same three. Maybe even add the zombie episode just because zombies are always cool to see. And you know, it's one of the most talked about what if scenarios. But overall, man, I enjoy this series. Definitely didn't know what to expect going in to it and how I would feel about animated show that's in the MCU. But I'm definitely satisfied, and I feel like this next finale is going to really, really kick things off. There's going to be a season two for sure, but definitely waiting for that that last little tie-in to what we got going down in the MCU, man. But
yeah, so and here's the thing. One last thing. People, y'all better not sleep on Ultron. Because another spoiler alert, comic book spoiler alert. During the Secret Wars, Doom had to recruit Galactus to take out Ultron.
And he looked, bro, that part was, did you see that part where he was eating, the worlds?
Yeah, that he was looked without like an Infinity Stone. That was without an Infinity, yeah. I mean, that was without the Mind Stone, if I'm not mistaken. But Secret Wars, Doom had to recruit a big, a Celestial to take this dude out. Excuse me. So, Ultron ain't no punk now. Like, yeah. You know what they say about when you have to kill crazy people in movies? Like, you got to either blow them fools up or shoot them in the head. you can't just punch him and throw him off a cliff. Like, that's not gonna work. Right. Like, and that fool was crazy, like crazy. So
yeah.
Take with that information you will.
Yep. Then next week, of course, we will talk about the finale of What If, episode 9. And as we get out of here, Dane, Venom, Let There Be Carnage is dropping this weekend. And the reviews are kind of coming out about it. People are like iffy about it, but one thing that was said is there is a tie-in, potential tie-in to the MCU in this movie.
Finally.
So I'm definitely excited to see what that is about. Are you going to try to see it this weekend? I'm definitely, I'll have to try to find time. But
yeah, same here.
I definitely want to. I mean, I like Venom. I think Tom Hardy played the character Brock Hardy, Eddie Brock, pretty well. But the long rumored was how he was going to connect to Spider-Man, how and if they were going to meet. I don't even know Spider-Man in this movie, but there are rumors that there is a connection to the MCU Spider-Man. So I'm excited to check it out and kind of see how that is going to happen.
Multiverse.
Like the same thing that we just mentioned, how all those scenarios happen at the same time. This could be shown in the movie.
They probably just had to wait, which is why we couldn't get a trailer for so long and all this stuff. But multiverse, this is possible. Multiverse, yes.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah, man. I'm so tired.
Look, they said,
so dominant.
That clip of old buddy from was it UNC? He was like, "Let's go!"
Yeah. Let's go. For real, man. Definitely excited to check that out. But episode 62, Dane, not 63. Of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Appreciate you guys for listening or watching on YouTube. Be sure to give us 5 stars and a great review on Apple. Check us out on Spotify as well, YouTube, all those great things. You can check us out on our website, www.theduosportsandstuffpodcast.com. We out.